Let's stand together, please, for the scripture reading. We're in the book of 1 John. First John chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 responsively, please. I will read the odd verses, and then we will read the even verses together. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, I hear some pages flipping still. There we go. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ, is the Christ, is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Together, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Together, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to gather together as your people. And this morning, I do pray that you would please be with us. And God, you have something for every single one of us. And you promised that when your word is preached, when it goes forth, it will not return void. And Lord, we claim that promise even this morning. And Lord, in every one of our lives, might it fulfill the purpose for which it has gone forth. Please be with Pastor Myers as he preaches. Give him liberty to preach your word to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Trying this wireless mic. We tried it in Sunday school. We've been trying for like forever to get this thing going. Joseph read the verses this morning. So he was talking about sports. I hate to lose. You know, losing stinks, right? Everybody talks about LeBron James. I think he's been in like 9 finals. He's only won 3. You know what that means? He's lost 6 times. I remember I coached our football team. The very first year I coached it, we had just gotten into the league, and it was a pretty big league at that time, and Lancaster was like the gold standard. They always won, and we had a really good team. And when we came in, I'm like, we're good, and we're going to show these guys that this isn't their league anymore. Pacific's here. And we got off to a great start. We had several games, and so after several games, I noticed their scores, and they would win to like 8. They would win in games like 80-6, 80-12. We were winning games by a pretty good amount too, but I thought, we're going to kill these guys. So not figuratively. So we go up to Lancaster in October, and it was a cold night. You ever been to Lancaster? It's hot in the summer, it's cold in the winter, and it's just ugly. But so we go up there, and we're ready. I'm like, we're going to show this team we're here. So we kick off the ball. They go right down to score a touchdown. No problem. We get the ball. We score a touchdown. We're tied. They get the ball again. They score a touchdown, their lead. And then after that, we rolled them. We just kept scoring and scoring and scoring. We scored 36 points on them in the first half, and we're killing them. I'm like, I told you we're good. And we go to halftime, and, you know, get me some hot chocolate. It's freezing here. What I didn't realize is they had this player that was really good, and he didn't play the first half. But it was okay. We had a big lead. It was like, no big deal. And he played the second half. And they scored the first time they had the ball, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. And next thing you know, it's like they had 70 points on us. I just remember going home. I was depressed. Now it's a 100-mile drive. It was midnight. We ate. The boys are all asleep. And I'm like, I was so fired up for that game. And I'm like, we're not that good after all. I remember a couple years later, we were the 2-time defending champs. And we're in the tournament. You know, we had been dominating the tournament. It had been 3 years since we had a hard time. And we're in the semifinal game to go to the championship, and we're playing Faith of Wildermar. Now, you have to understand something about our league. There's 2 teams we always wanted to beat. It was Lancaster and, no offense, Brother Goddard, but Faith of Wildermar. And so we're playing them, you know, we're going to get the championship again 3 years in a row and all this. And they had a 2-point lead with a couple minutes left in the game. And we got the ball. We had no timeout. We're going down the field, and it came down to 4th down. And Boren was our quarterback, and I remember Boren because he had this thing that he would get the ball and he'd run backwards just so no one would get his flags. And I'm like, brother, we're supposed to be going that way. But he made this throw and we didn't catch it. Less than a minute left. We have no timeouts. It's now Faith's ball. And all they had to do is, if you know football, two hikes. There was no fumbles in the football league we were in. And take a knee, two hikes, shake hands, the game's over. So, you know, we hadn't lost in three. It had been 3 years. So I'm trying to be a Christian coach. And as they have the ball, I'm going to our guys. And I'm like, hey, we've had a great run, you know. It just wasn't our day. And I'm telling them we lost, and that's that. And while I was doing that, Faith, instead of taking a knee, handed the ball off. Now, I didn't tell our guys not to do this. They just messed up. They didn't get him. And he ran for a touchdown. Now, that gave them an 8-point lead. Now, in football, 6 points, and you get a 2-point conversion, you're tied. I'm like, wait a minute. If we can stop the 2-point conversion, we can get the ball back, and maybe we can tie the game up and go to overtime. And sure enough, we stopped them on the 2-point conversion. I've already told our guys we lost. They kicked off to us. There's about 30, 35 seconds left in the game. We have no timeouts. Brother Chim was our wide receiver. He didn't really want to play football, and I was a basketball coach. And that year I said, you're going to play football, or you're not playing on my basketball team. And Brother Chim was good. He was our wide receiver. And I just told Bourne, I'm like, we haven't got time. Just run down the field and throw the ball up for grabs to Brother Chim. And he did. And sure enough, Brother Chim caught the ball about the 10-yard line. Our guys run down there. They get the ball, spike it, stop the clock. Next play, we score a touchdown. Then it's like 2-point conversion time. We got to get this. We got the 2-point conversion, and we went to overtime. So the overtime was, you know, if you guys understand football, both teams got the ball at the 20. They each got a shot. We get the ball at the 20, we go right in and score. They get the ball at the 20. If we stop them, we actually won this thing. So they go, they get down to the 10, and it's fourth down, and we stopped them. Game over. The ref throws a flag. Called one of our guys for, like, holding or something. They got a first down. So we've stopped them four times. Now they got a first down, and they're at the 10. They got down to the 5. It got down to fourth down again. And we stopped them. And after the game, I'm telling the guys, I can't believe we won. That game was over. Now, look, winning, losing, I'll take winning any day of the week, right? If you read the verses we read there today, God is talking about winning. He talks about, by the way, the whole theme, if you look at 1 John, is that our joy might be full. He says it in, I believe it's in verse 4 of chapter 1. And these things write we unto you. He's saying, here's why I'm writing. That your joy might be full. I can tell you from coaching and just being a sports fan, you know, it's a lot funner when you win than when you lose. It's a lot better to be on the winning side than on the losing side. I like that song. I am on the winning side. If you're saved, you're on the winning side. Now, in these verses, I think we find some elements that lead us to victory. Now, I want to say this. Summer is here. And summer can be a time when, if we're not careful, you can struggle in your Christian life. Because there's a lot of things that happen in the summer to kind of take you off of schedule. You know, your children right now, if public school, I think they're still going, but our Christian school is done. We had a graduation Thursday, we had a graduation Friday, and we had a graduation Saturday, and I've had it with graduations. I'm done, okay? I was out there taking selfies with all the graduates. I'm done. My phone, my memory is locked down. We're not doing that anymore, okay? We're moving on. But your children are on a different schedule. You take vacations and things like that, even though you still work, and so you can get on a different schedule. If you're not careful, you can kind of throw yourself off, and you are doing good spiritually, and you throw off your spiritual schedule, and it can kind of mess you up. We want to make sure that we're going forward, particularly in our families and our children, and having a great summer. Look at John 10:10. We do have a spiritual enemy that wants us to lose. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. In the few minutes we have, I want to share a few thoughts on how we can be spiritual winners. Spiritual victory. And particularly as summer is coming up, it's very important. How do we have spiritual victory? We're going to look at the verses here and we're going to find it. First of all, I would say this, it begins with Christ. Look at verse 1 and 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him that is begotten of him. In other words, if we love God, we love the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You see, victory was not possible until the day you met Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no spiritual victory. Amen. Because without Christ, you're not spiritual. Now, you might have religious leanings. You might try to have spiritual leanings. But when it comes to the truth of the Bible, when it comes to the truth of the gospel, without Christ, you have no chance for victory. By the way, one thing you need, if you're going to be if you're going to win in any kind of sport, you got to have a good player or two and a good coach. You got to have those, got to be in place. Well, listen, there's only one person we need on our side to have spiritual victory. That's Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I say this kindly. I don't mean this in a mean-spirited way, but I'm kind of duty-bound, if you're going to preach the Bible, to preach the truth. You don't have a chance for any spiritual victory. You can't. So are you being proud? No, because before I was saved, I had no chance for spiritual victory. It was only after Jesus Christ, after I got saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, that I even had a chance for my life to change, that I even had a chance for victory in my life. Before that, anything that seemed to be a victory was nothing but a cheap imitation, a false substitute. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, Paul said this, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and do count them but dung." What's dung? You don't want to know. Let's just flush that one out, okay? "That I might win Christ." You know, Paul, by the way, Paul, spiritually speaking, was at the top of the rung before he knew Christ. But he said, you know, all that seemed to be good for me, all of that would look to the world like a victory, because I didn't know Jesus Christ, it's not a victory. Right. And I won't tell you, you kind of figure out what he thought it was. So it begins with Christ. It begins in verse 1 when we believe in Christ. We talked about that. And it's, by the way, you have to be very careful. One of the signs of the end time, as I'm getting ready for our Revelation series, is apostasy. And apostasy is rampant. There's a pastor of a Baptist church in Brooklyn, a church of 10,000. Okay, he got up and he said that he celebrates whatever anybody does or believes that leads them on their path with God. Buddhist, this, that, or whatever. And then he said that for someone to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way is, and he's buying into this thing in our society, is divisive. I'll just be honest with you, it is divisive. But it's truth. Yeah. I would rather take a chance on being a bit divisive by telling the truth about Jesus Christ and salvation than not telling the truth and someone dying and going to hell, or someone not trusting Christ. Okay, Christ is everything. And also he talks about loving the brethren in verse 2. "For we know that we love the children of God." We know that we, but this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You see, loving God and loving Christ translates over into us loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what's important. We talk a lot of time about, you know, social activity and hanging out together. The Bible word for that is fellowship. And by the way, fellowship is stronger than friendship. Fellowship is stronger than getting together with people you know, or people you have different, you know, you kind of connect with. Because fellowship is based on the fact that we're Christians and we know Jesus Christ and we have the same beliefs. And because of that, we can be closer. Fellowship is stronger than friendship. Friendship comes a lot of times because of personalities and common interests. But fellowship comes from beliefs and the fact that we have a common Savior. That's why during the summer, and especially this summer with some of the things we're doing, we're trying to have a little more fellowship and be together as Christians. And the Bible talks about the importance of that. Church is not just something you come to on Sunday morning and kind of slip in and then slip out and go home. That's why we have the membership. Listen, become a part of this if you feel this church is for you, and get to know some people and fellowship. You'll enjoy church a whole lot more if you do. Enjoy being with your fellow Christians. We have family nights. We have some special schedules. We're doing some special things before the service on Thursday night to hang out and eat together, and then we'll have our service and fellowship afterwards. So I encourage you, be part of that. We have the Monday night dinners that start two weeks from tomorrow. Different. We'll have the young couples, the mid-age couples, and the, I don't want to call them older couples, how about the wise couples going out? And we'll have the younger singles, and we'll have the older singles. I don't know what we'll call them, the, what do you call it when someone doesn't get married? Wise singles, okay? But we're doing all of that, and then we have the fellowships at my house. I encourage you to be part of that. Be faithful to your Sunday school class. So if we're going to have spiritual victory now or any time of the year, it always begins with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. Number two, though, it matures with Scripture. Look at verse 3. He talked about the love of God and all of this, but he ties it all to the Word of God. Look what he says in verse 3. For this is the love of God. Now, I'll tell you what nauseates me. When people say, well, you know, I go to church and all we just focus on is the love of God. We don't say anything negative, and we just kind of like whatever your thing is, you know, and you know, just about relationship with Christ. You know, we're not into rules or any of that stuff. And it sounds good, but it's not true. This is the love of God. Here it is. You ready? That we keep his commandments. I just thought we give everybody a spiritual hug no matter what they do. Yeah, everybody gets a spiritual hug no matter what you do. But isn't that the purpose of being at church? Isn't that the purpose of reading the Bible, hearing preaching, being here, is to learn the Word of God so we can actually do what it says? You cannot separate the fact that you will not love God if you do not obey God. You say, I didn't say that. Well, I kind of did, but it said it right here. So it's the love of God, but it starts with Scriptures. And then I love this part. And his commandments are not grievous. You know, we have a school, and in school, we have some rules you're supposed to keep. Okay? All schools do. Ours are a little higher because we just kind of try to follow the Bible, and some of them aren't maybe Scripture, but it's things that'll just help keep things in order. By the way, let me say this, and it's Sunday morning, I probably shouldn't say it, but hey, just because you're off in the summer, kids, you're not going to act like pagans and then think you're coming back to our school. Thought I'd throw that out. Okay? Thought I'd throw that out. Our school is for people that want to be Christians and love God. We're not going to babysit a bunch of people. We're not going there. So if you think, hey, it's summer, I can do this and dress down, all that stuff, then we'll be talking to you. All right, back to our regularly scheduled message. But listen, God's commandments are not there to take away fun or hurt us or restrict us because they're not grievous.
Right.
You know what's grievous? We don't follow his commandments. Disobedience, listen, God isn't just putting us in a box to say, I'm just trying to keep you in line. Because God knows the things that he tells us not to do, if we do them, they're hurtful. Because sin is hurtful. God knows the things that are wrong, the things that would hurt us. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, what keeps us from having life more abundantly? Well, we don't keep his commandments. So that's what we always strive to. So it starts with Christ, but victory comes by following God's law. Any supposed love of God that does not lead to obedience to God is false love at best. It's like the guy that says, oh, I love my wife, and then he cheats on her regularly. You don't love her. Oh, you have a fond feeling for her, but you love yourself. That didn't go over very well. I could be meaner. You say you love your spouse and you're looking at pornography. You don't love your spouse. You love yourself. You know, and this isn't on pornography. Maybe it's a word of utterance God just gave me because I just happened to read a book. We're talking about the statistics of people that struggle with it. It's going to pollute your soul. And if you're struggling with that, come see me. We'll help you. Because it's devastating. And it's hurtful to your spouse. And so let's be careful. But the point is, if we love somebody, we're going to want to do things that will help, that are helpful. And in God's word, it's following God's word, and it's being there. It's not a burden. Okay? Don't think that's Satan. You know, what did he do with Eve? did God really say, you can't touch it? No, God never said that. But he tried to get her to think that what God was saying was unreasonable. And she didn't listen, and she ate the fruit, and guess what happened? That was grievous. Do you realize if they would have never ate the fruit, they would have lived forever? That the earth would still be a paradise? Think about that. It was grievous when she disobeyed, not when she obeyed. And then she got her husband to do it. Number three, it continues in faith. Verse 4, but whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. You know, we hear Nike. That's what the Greek word Nike means, victory. And wearing their shoes is not going to get you victory. You ever see these guys in the court, you know, 75 pounds overweight, they got their bandana on, their hat backwards, they got their shorts on, they're dribbling the ball. Listen, they got their Nikes. Listen, we used to play in the sports league, and we'd wear the, I used to get the Steph, the $8 shoes. Remember that guy? Marbury. Yeah, Steph Marbury. Because I had such mad skill, I didn't need those expensive shoes, okay? What do you mean? My skills were so bad, it made me mad. That's how mad skills. But look, you know, the victory. What's the victory? It's faith that gives us the victory. By faith, he says we overcome. Overcome means we get over those things that could hold us down. We get over those things that could tear us down. See, just because we're in this world and this world is anti-God, and I hope you see that more and more, we need to keep our antennas up. You say, man, with all that's going on and all the evil, and society is now becoming anti-Christian. It's amazing how they're anti-Christian, but they're becoming pro-Islamic. Last time I checked, Christians aren't cutting people's heads off. I'm not saying that to be mean. The Muslims are here. Let's reach them. But Christianity is kind of like, by the way, say, how, that's kind of weird. We're not hurting anybody. We're just trying to help. Listen, that's because it's a spiritual thing. That's why they always persecuted them. That's why there's such this idiotic anti-Israel sentiment. And now it's spreading to Christianity. God doesn't bless that. Okay? And you say, but why does everybody hate the Jews? It's a spiritual thing. There's no reason to. No matter where you live, whether you live in the Middle East, you live in America, you live in Tempe, wherever you live, there's no reason to hate them. It's a spiritual thing. Don't we understand that? But you know what? The Bible says we can overcome all that. That doesn't have to drag us down by our faith. It's very important that we have faith. If we have faith, we can never say that we cannot overcome something. This sin is just bogging me down. This marriage is just never going to work. These kids are never going to make it. And you teenagers, I could just, you know, it's just all around me. Living right, it's just hard. It's just, I can't do it. The Bible says if you have faith, faith is believing God enough to get in his word and do what he says, you can overcome all of that. And then we obtain the victory, which is a wonderful thing. Then lastly, it starts with Christ. And then it continues with his word. And then we continue in faith. And lastly, it's finished by obedience. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. We'll read these, our last verses we'll read here. 2 Timothy. Paul experienced victory. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Paul is, as he's seeing the light at the end of the tunnel in his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is hand. He goes, it's coming. I'm getting older. I have fought a good fight. And he had. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, Paul said, I just did what I was supposed to do. I did what God told me to do. I fought the good fight. And by the way, there will be a fight. And I'm not talking about a physical fight, and we're not picking fights with unbelievers, all that nonsense. But I'm saying there's a spiritual fight there.
Right.
And by the way, it's so much easier to give in. You know, sometimes with our children, they start whining and complaining, we give in to them. You know, well, the school is doing this or that, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah. Listen, I'll never give in to my children. Once you give in, you've lost the battle.
Yeah.
Once you let them go gripe and complain about something, and then you follow up on them, they're going to always gripe and complain. A family here many years ago, and they took their kids and they went off. And whenever their kids would get in trouble, just small things, they'd go home. I'm being persecuted, and mom come running down here, fighting it. You're doing blah blah. And the kids understood. They weren't bad kids, but they kind of understood. Hey, if I complain, mom's going to come down here and get on them. And they got their way and they got out of here. It's all blown up. I don't know what that had to do with this. That's another word of knowledge. But let's fight the fight. Let's do the right things. Okay, it's always worth it to do the right things. It's not easy. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. But you know what he's saying? I just obeyed. I know this. Obedience is a lot better than disobedience.
Yes, sir.
I read a quote many, many years ago. He goes, the quickest path to get that which you really want in life is obedience to God. And what he meant by that is, we all want joy and fulfillment and significance, as Joseph mentioned yesterday, all that stuff. You know where that all comes from? That doesn't come from following everything that's out there. No. It comes from just being obedient to God's word. It's built in.
Amen.
It's all right there. What am I saying? I hate to lose. I hated to lose. That's why I'm glad I'm not really coaching anymore, because it's just irritating sometimes. But worse than that, you know, look, if you were a Cavaliers fan, I have two things for you. I'm sorry, and the altar will be open in a minute. You can get right, okay? But, you know, listen, I'm not a Cavs fan. You know, I like the way the Warriors play. I don't like their social stand. Someone called them the Social State Warriors. They just keep their mouths shut and play basketball. But if I'm a Lakers fan, let's say the Lakers were the Cavaliers this year and they lost. It'd be, oh, man, but you know what? It's over. It's just a game. If they win, that's great. If they lose, oh, well, next year. It doesn't affect me very harshly. You know what affects us, though? When we lose in life.
Come on,
man. We don't do these things. You know, as a Christian, you can live for God. Let me encourage you. And let me encourage you this. That's the best life you can give. You can live.
Yes,
but it comes by following the Lord. This summer, let's have a good summer. I can give you a few steps. Get involved with everything the church is doing. Don't be content with just being a Sunday morning Christian. If you're new here, I'm not getting on you. I'm encouraging you here for a minute. You know, you never went out on Tuesday nights. You will enjoy it.
Amen.
I've never come to any of the other services. You ought to come. Not just to learn, but, and that's important, by the way, that's very important, but to sing the songs together, to be with God's people together, to be encouraged, come to the activity, do all those things. Let's have a great summer spiritually.
Yes, sir.
We're going to look back and say, that was a great summer. Let's get into the fall. We get back into our schedule. Let's pray this morning. Let's all stand together if we could. Thank you so much.